start with a prayer. Lord, we thank you that you give us this beautiful, beautiful day. We're grateful for each day you give us, Lord. It's just a wonderful gift. We pray that you be with us, lead us, and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I think that God sends these storms come into our lives, and I think God really, he looks at what we do with these storms, what we do after the storm. I don't think the storms attest, I think. Doesn't matter what kind of storm, whether it's a hurricane or a personal storm that we live through. And because of my recent experience, I've been so mindful of one of my favorite stories in the Bible was when Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. I mean, to me, the meaning is so deep there, the message. And when you see that happening around you, it's a joyful thing. And I saw that after this last storm, I haven't been here much the last couple of months. I've been sick. But after the storm, my brother stepped up to help us. The youth in this congregation, some of the adults came over and helped us clean up our yard. I mean, it's something that I just haven't been able to do. And it'd still be out, that mess would still be out there in our yard today if it wasn't for. Now, we don't have a small, we got a couple of acres, so it's not a small job to come out there. And what I saw was such joy in the kids and everybody that was out there working together. And there's something about working together as a congregation of something that is just wonderful. It's so much fun. Unless you've been involved in it, I don't think you realize it, but it can be a blast. I saw a lot of smiles, and I saw a lot of hard work done. We had a pile of debris afterwards. We still haven't gotten rid of it. Had to divide it up and burn it in some small patches because there was just a huge pile out there. Afraid if we had started it, it'd burn up a lot of buildings around the house. But I just look again at Jesus. When he washed the disciples' feet, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done to you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." And that's what I feel was happening. I felt my feet were washed. And I'm grateful to all the youth and all the adults that came out and helped us. And I want to thank you again and again. God bless you.
God bless you.
Praise the Lord for that testimony. How awesome when we allow the Lord to use us to work in His ways. And when we're in the position that we need to be in, it's a beautiful thing. So, Lord, just even with that testimony, Father, I pray that you put on our heart the position that you want us to be in to bless others, Lord God. If there's someone that's been on our heart, Father, that you've been kind of saying, hey, I'd like you to either pray for them or talk to them or go and be a servant at their house, Lord, or just anything. Just be a listening ear. Father, I pray that we don't let our flesh get in the way and ignore that, Lord, but I pray that we are quick to listen and that we are quick to allow you to use us to bless others. You are so good to me. Show a little bit wrong, but we all know this song. And it's this is the second one, I think. It's You Are So Good to Me. Father, sometimes when we just come to you, Lord God, it's just really overwhelming joy, Father. And suddenly we realize you are the creator of all. You created us. And you show us what to do, Father. And we're so excited. We're ready to run out there and we're ready to do your work. And then sometimes, Lord God, we just easily forget. I pray, Father, that you just continually remind us, Lord, and that we choose to keep our eyes on you, Father, so that we can't forget, Lord, that we don't thank ourselves for giving us strength, but we say, thank you, Lord, for giving me strength, Lord. Help us not to put trust in anything but you, Father, because we know that everything in this world goes away. But you always have been, and you always will be.
Sacrifice.
to know you deeper, Lord God. Help us not to be that person that looks in the mirror and sees their faults and then turns away and forgets everything. Father, I pray that we don't stand here and dwell on all the things that we do wrong, but we say, Father, I want freedom. I'm tired of living this way. Lord God, I know that you say you have better things for me. And Lord God, I want those things. But for us to have freedom, sometimes we have to let go of the chains ourselves. So I pray, Father, that we do that. We say, I'm sick of living this way. It may be a really huge thing, and it may just be a little thing. But all we want is freedom, Lord God. Please, if we're blind to the things that we're doing, Lord God, please let us see. Because sometimes it is hard to see. Father, we pray that you purify our hearts, Lord. Bring all that gunk to the surface, Lord God, so that we can clean it out. That while we're here on earth, Lord God, I know that we get to worship you nonstop when we're in heaven, which is so awesome, Lord, but I pray that while we're here on earth, we do say, I want more, I want more, I just want to worship you all the time, Father, because we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, Lord God. We don't know what an hour's going to bring, or even 5 minutes, Father. We have no control over our lives in that way, Lord God. But I do pray, Father, that while we're here, we make the right choices, Father, and we choose you, Lord God. We don't choose our flesh. We don't choose what our friends are doing, Lord God. Or we don't choose even what people at our work are doing, Lord God. We don't look to others, Father, but we look to you, Lord God. I just pray for just even the younger kids here, Lord God, whether they're college age or high school age or even younger, Father. I know it's so easy to get caught up in the world and to want to feel like you want to fit in. But the true way to feel like you fit in is to be with Christ's family, because we don't belong in this world. We're always going to be outcasts. We're always going to feel a little bit different, a little bit weird, because we should. We don't belong here. Our only job here is not to fit in with everyone else. It's to stand apart from everyone else and to invite people into our family. So I pray, Father, that you just give these kids just boldness, Lord God, and you remind them how special and how amazing they are to you, so they don't have to feel like they need that love from anyone else, Lord God. You love them, Father. You created them. Not magazines, not movies, not, you know, music, television, Lord God. You created them. And they are wonderful in your image, Father. Wonderfully made in your image, Lord. Help us to understand how short life is, Lord God. And help us not to worry about tomorrow, but focus on you.
you shall break the yoke of our burden and the staff on our shoulders. The rod of our oppressor is at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle turmoil, the cloak rolled in blood will be burned, fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given. The government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over the kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. For even then and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts.
This morning we're going to do things a little different. We're going to be taking communion during worship. And I just want to read something from 1 Corinthians 11:23. And many of us have been to so many different places and have done communion differently. And one thing I found out is kind of when religion gets its hands in things, it can devalue something really quickly. And so I just wanted to read from 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it." I just think here is an ordinance, or almost a command from Jesus, to do this in remembrance of him. And I think it's so important to remember what he did for us, how he took our sins, how he washed us clean. And I think it's amazing, too. It wasn't as if he said, "Build this great monument of me and come and worship." He said, "Break bread. You know, eat, nourish yourself." I think I'm a man of food. I love food. And Jesus, you know, they called him a glutton, you know. But here he's giving even more. He's nourishing our bodies. He's giving us to eat and to remember him as we do that. And in the Corinthians, what happened before this 11:23 was there was a lot of fighting. You know, it was we're going to have the best meal over here, and you guys over here are going to have kind of the poor man's meal. And all this division. And Paul's like, "No, examine yourself. Remember why we're doing this." So I'm going to continue on. And this starts in 26 here. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim that the Lord's death until he comes." So we're waiting. We remember that he died for us. And we're waiting for him to return. "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself." And when Darren approached me and said, "You know, maybe we can do communion during worship," I thought, what a great thing, because when we're worshiping the Lord, we can really examine our hearts. Where are we at with you, Lord? What have we been doing that maybe isn't according to your will? So I encourage each one of us as we continue worshiping here, even before you drink, even before you eat, examine your heart. You know, bring to the Lord the things that you've been dealing with. There's no shame in that. In fact, it's the opposite. There's freedom when you do that. And so I encourage, this is an important thing. I think when Jesus tells us to do something, and then Paul is kind of giving us a warning, examine yourself before you do it, there's something important there. I'm not going to define what it is, but there's something important when Jesus says to do it, and then Paul says to examine yourself. And so as we do this, again, just let us go to our knees, if that's in our spirit man or our physical body, and just raise our hands to the Lord. Ask him to examine our hearts. Ask him to purge those things that aren't of his kingdom, that aren't of him. I just think it's so amazing that he wants us to break bread, to feed our bodies. And in doing that, there's so much freedom that our sins get removed. For those of you that may not know the Lord or haven't given your heart to the Lord, now is the time too. John Corson said this one thing, you know, when you go to a doctor, the doctor is going to tell you, "Well, come back when you're feeling better." He's here to fix you. He's here to find out what's wrong. And so those of you that don't know Jesus or don't have him in your heart or have fallen away, now is the time. This is where we do it. Examine your heart. Give your heart back to the Lord. Let him renew your mind. It's so important to take this communion. I was just amazed just reading this once again that there's just something there about it that's important. And so I encourage all of us just to bend our knee to the Lord this morning as we continue to worship. And we're going to have some folks handing out the communion. Dear Lord, we just do come to you, Father God. We open our hearts to you, Lord God. We bend our knee, Lord. We surrender to you, Father God. Please cleanse us, Lord. I know there's just so many little areas of my life that just creep in. Lord, help me to examine my heart this morning. Lord God, help me to give you all those areas. Help me to confess those areas to you, Lord God. I want you to purify me, Lord God. I want you to refine me, Lord. I want you to make me fit for you, Lord God. And it only comes through you. Only you can heal the heart, Lord God. So I just give you this morning as we continue to worship you, Lord God. Just help us to abandon ourselves, Lord. Just help us to worship you.
Yeah.
Father, as we've taken this communion, Lord God, I pray that you do just, once again, Father, just lead us and bring to our hearts, Father, things that we need to change, Lord God, and help us to do it with a joyful heart, Father. Help us not to want to fight against it, Lord God. Help us just to finally surrender, Lord God. We give you this day, Lord. We give you our lives, and we pray, Father, that you just be in complete control over it.
One thing that the Lord was kind of speaking to me, and the Holy Spirit is so personal, so unique, and just speaks personally to each one of us. And as Josh was talking today, and as Amy was singing each individual song, it was like the Lord was just like speaking personal things to me. And usually, you know, when we do communion, I don't know why I do this, but I just always go for the cup of juice that represents the blood of Jesus Christ. And I always just take that first. And I'm just so thankful. And I'm always thanking. You know, I don't know why I do that. I just like, I'm so thankful for the blood that cleanses me. You know, maybe because I'm such a sinner apart from Him. And I'm just so, I always guzzle that down first. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know? And then I just kind of chew on the cracker. And for some reason, you know, the Lord was just reminding me, you know, just, again, from some of the stuff Josh was saying and some of the worship songs, just, he said, no, I want you to stop, and I want you to take and think about, you know, examine what you're doing, that cracker representing my body and what I suffered for you, and by those stripes that he received, I'm healed, by the blood shed on the cross, and even more so, for this particular time, he was speaking to me, and I lived that perfect life. Yeah, Darren, you are such a sinner. But I lived that perfect life as a replacement for you, so that you could stand before the Father, not only cleansed of your sins, right? And bringing that account up to zero, but filled, because I lived the perfect life in place of you. And so not only are all your sins forgiven, but you can stand before me with the righteousness of Christ, because I lived that perfect life in your place. And he did that for me, and he did it for you. Isn't that amazing? So I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit speaks to us so wonderfully and personally. Thank you for doing that. And I really love that time of communion. So, anyway, thank you guys. We're all very grateful that you're here. And the Lord has brought you for a reason. So we're just blessed to have you here at Home Fellowship Church. And so just welcome in Jesus' name. There's a couple things I just want to go over with real quick in announcements. And then we'll get to the teaching. And today is an extra fun day for me because I just get to sit and just be fed. So I really enjoy it, you know, when Thursday nights, when Mark's, you know, been teaching, you know, we did that trial of mankind. That was, you know, when Gary sits and I sit and come on Tuesday nights for the men's group, where I get to listen, and Samuel, or when Josh teaches, or when, you know, Josh, you're teaching in Psalm 23, you know, and Sharon about the shepherd. It's just so, you know, each of you, Uncle Tom will come and teach on us. It's just such a blessing to see how the Holy Spirit is speaking through each person. So I'm getting this to sit today as Josh will be speaking and teaching today. So let's just go over a couple things, and then we'll go right into the teaching, and I'll be back into Colossians next week. And So okay, you guys know we don't take up tithes and offerings, but we do receive them in the back in the little bird box. And so freely you've received, and so freely give in Jesus' name. Also, we mentioned this last week, we're looking for a little security team in lieu of some of the things that have been happening. And so if that's you, and if you particularly, God is stirring your heart to do that, we're looking for someone, if you have a concealed carry or something, almost like an air marshal in our little body. If you would see Uncle Tom or Anthony, I think Anthony's out of town this weekend, but if you see Uncle Tom, you just wave your hand back there. And if you just see Uncle Tom, We'd love to have you to do that. Won't get a really cool jacket though, so unfortunately. We also have in the movie theaters, we've got a Christian movie coming, The Star. It's a story of the first Christmas, and that's just in theaters. It's a couple of days ago, so we want to make sure you guys support that. Also, we had a marriage here yesterday. It was beautiful. And first thing, I want to say thank you. Now, when I thank people, one of two things happen. All the people who weren't able to come or didn't come, sometimes like, I feel so guilty. This is not meant to make anybody feel guilty. If you didn't come or you weren't able to come, that's totally okay. But I also want to recognize the people who did come. We had about at least 35, 40 people from this church to support Nick and Ashley getting married yesterday. And that was a beautiful thing. And, as what always happens when I do the wedding, you know, even with punctual people, because, you know, Ash is very like, okay, Pastor Dan, we're starting at 4. She's like, you need to be here at 2:30. Okay, all right, Ash, you need to wear this. So everything but socks and underwear. Anyway, so, okay, I'll wear this tie. And I'll wear, okay. So anyway, but of course it lasted a little bit longer. You know how brides are, so we didn't start to fry down 4:20, 4:30. But anyway, I was just talking to Nick, and he was just like, it was so amazing what God has done and is doing in their lives and the relationship and their family. And it was such an amazing time. We'll have more pictures next week. I just didn't have time to put them on here. But it was such an amazing time of what God was doing. And I want to say thank you for all you people who come and support. And I know the Lord notices those things. And it's such an encouragement. So thank you in Jesus' name for just investing in those people. And Nick was just telling me, I hope it's okay, where's Nick? He's probably not here. Anyway, sorry. But anyway, but the bottom line is, because he just got baptized, and they just got saved recently, and this guy's doing so much, and so the time before his marriage, he had done it a different way, in the world's way, and so he was being celibate, and they were being celibate. And so he was like, how amazing it was, how difficult it was at first, but how awesome it is. And now he gets to do this to honor the Lord and come together in marriage and have that special time together. What? God makes all things new if you'll give it over to him. Isn't that amazing? We always think surrendering it, and it's such a, we're giving up so much. Oh, we're gaining way more than we've ever given up. Isn't that true? So it was a beautiful time, and thank you especially, I don't know if Leslie's here, Leslie and Amanda Panda, and I mean, there's so many people just doing so much work to make this church look amazing. It was just fantastic. Okay, also part of our job is equipping the saints, so we don't want to give away anything. We are frugal with our money. We appreciate all the money you give in tithes each week or each month, and we want to use them well. So we don't want to give you things that you're not going to use, and you're not going to read, or you're not going to... But we also want to equip the saints. We want you to grow. That's the whole purpose for us being here, to be rooted down in the Lord. If that doesn't happen, then when the storms come and the winds blow, that tree is going to just... So we want you rooted in Christ, rooted in his word. So there's a few things we want to give away if anybody feels led. So I'm just going to take a minute and pray, and I'm going to mention a few things. If you want it and will read it and are seeking the Lord and want to grow, then we want to give it to you. If not, please don't take it, okay? Because there's someone else who will use it in the future, okay? Father, we just ask in Jesus' name that you would stir anyone's heart in here, Lord, anyone who wants to grow in you, Lord God. Lord, if there's anything here that's for them, whether it's even right now or even after service, if they're embarrassed to raise their hand or whatever, that you would just have them come up and that you would help them to grow in you, Lord. So just stir a heart. Put it into their heart or their mind, almost like a drawing to this, whatever book or whatever it is, to help them to grow. We ask that you do this in Jesus' name. Put the right thing in the right people's hands. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, so we have a few things to go over. My first is this one, okay? I don't know where that mic is.
Right here.
Would you give that to Ray?
I
Ray, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Right, Ray.
Okay, I gave Ray one of these, and it's basically his time with God, and it's a 15-minute devotion for the entire year, and it's the complete New Testament. It'll take you through the entire New Testament, just like Monday reading, Tuesday reading, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and you'll go through the entire New Testament in 1 year. And it's got Old Testament corresponding verse, and then a little thought from Billy Graham or Beth Moore or Jill Briscoe, and just different folks in the Lord. And this helped me to read the New Testament. So many Christians have never even read the New Testament for themselves all the way through. So I just want to encourage you to do that. I did, and I'm like, man, I thought I knew all what the Bible says, and I'm reading it for myself. I'm like, ooh. I was talking to a lady who visited our church, and she's like, afterwards, she really loved what was said up there, and she's like, I can't believe what I'm finding in the Bible. I grew up in the church. So much stuff it says. Man, that right. And so, Ray, I know you went through this. Would you just share?
You took the words right out of my mouth. I guess it was about a year and a half ago. I was on a Thursday with me, Pastor Darren, for breakfast. Periodically.
Hold the microphone up a little higher, please.
Okay, and we would just take a little walk, and one thing led to another. When he got back to his house, he gave me this book. I had not gone through the whole Bible, the Old Testament or the New Testament, cover to cover. And he gave me that book, and I started to read it, and I would underline certain areas. And this is my second trip through, and it's almost like walking through the woods along a brook. You could say, well, last time I went through here, I noticed that, but so you're noticing, I noticed for myself different things that meant a lot, so to me, and it's basically how my life has changed over time a little bit. Some verses mean more to me now than they did maybe last year, but it has a reference in the back, and it doesn't hurt to have a Bible with expository information as well if you want to do more digging. But for me, I just find it's given me a lot of wisdom in there. And every morning when I get up, it's a cup of coffee, that book, Oswald Chambers, and Word for the Day. This is another little email I get. But that's the first thing I do to get the day started. And it's really trying to change my life, patience with people, trying to watch my mouth in terms of, I'm from Brooklyn, so I've got my language is pretty much built in. But anyway, I want to thank you very much for that book. It's really helped me a lot. And I would, one day at a time, it's like where I come from. This is how you can get through the Bible as well.
I also had one of those that I read a few years ago. And I just wanted to share, too, for anybody who doesn't know, that they have the words straight out of the Bible, but then they also have a commentary, and the commentary is very down-to-earth, very easy to read, so it helps to bring the words from the Testament, New Testament to life, modern day, because there is a bit of a gap there sometimes.
Good. So, anyway, I have some of these. I got some more in. I know we gave away a few, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago, but I ran out. So if there was anyone else, I'll give them out for the next few weeks. If there's anyone else, okay. Josh, would you mind delivering a couple of those? Maybe I'll give you a few more. That's great. Chris, would you mind gathering? Here's a few away to that side. Everybody who's got a hand raised, here's a few more for you. Okay, and I'll bring some more next week. While they're doing that, also spiritual warfare. This is a Frank Peretti book. We hand this out periodically. Hey, Josh, right by. Yeah, thanks. And Erica, will you raise your hand too? Okay, I'll tell you what. I think I have two more in my car. Okay, good. Anybody else? Did anybody else not? Okay. Ronnie?
Yes.
You come see me afterwards. I'll go to my car and get one. Okay. Oh, no, I got one for her. Yeah? All right. Also, Frank Peretti, if anybody's interested in spiritual warfare, what that is, there's a spiritual battle that's going on around us that we don't know. This is a fantastic book. It's written in a fictional form. If anyone would like this, I've given it away many times, but... Yeah, I tell you, it will open your eyes to what happens in spiritual warfare. Fantastic. Anybody else? Okay, one more left.
You don't have that one.
Oh, Teresa. I'm sorry?
You don't have that one in audio.
We do have it on audio in the Loner Library. Yes. And I'm going to beg and plead Susie to get that up and running again because it's the best. Okay. The Lord's telling me to hold off. Why would you do that, Lord? Okay. We'll hand out some more stuff next week, some different books. The Lord's just telling me to stop. So Josh, would you just come on up? Hi. You're going to teach today, right? Let me pray for you real quick. Lord, I just thank you for this man of God, and I thank you that he knows you, I thank you that he loves you, and I thank you that he's down to earth and real, Lord God. And so I just ask right now that you would organize every thought that he's having right now, Lord. Organize what you would have him to say to us from you, and that it would flow according to your Holy Spirit, Lord God. So I ask for that anointing. I ask for that direction. I ask for that organization in his mind, his thoughts, that you would just organize it all, that it would come out just how you would want it to be for us, Lord God. And give us open hearts to receive anything you have us to hear. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Oh, you do need a mic. Yes. Probably need this one. We can hook you up. We'll show pictures from a baptism, too.
Anything to buy some time.
Josh, let me attend to your call.
Yeah.
Clicker, Darren.
Over there.
Oh, bye. For you, sir.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And I'm just going to pray as well here real quick. Well, Father, I just come to you, Lord God, and I just come to you zapped of energy, Lord. So I'm desperately relying on you today just to fill this room, to use each one of us here, Lord God, as just a vessel to spread your word, Lord. So I just give you my body, Lord God, I give you my tongue, my mind, Lord, just pray that you use me, and use whomever else, Lord, in the body today. Amen.
Amen.
So when Darren had asked me to teach, nothing really was going on too much in life, and I said, why not? You know, sounds great. And didn't know in between that time he asked until now that I'd just be dealing with a wave of emotions. I lost my father, he passed away. And it's been really difficult for me. The Lord restored that relationship about 12 years ago. We were estranged for probably the same amount of time. And came to a real, somewhat of a dysfunctional background. And so I had a lot of hurts and wounds. And the Lord really restored those things. And then I got a call about 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, you know, that my dad, he was dealing with some health issues, but nothing that was going to equal the death, you know, so it was unexpected. So we got a call and flew up to Wyoming right away and just was hoping to have a last talk with him. Didn't really know where he was with the Lord. He acknowledged the Lord in my life and my family's life and really enjoyed what he saw. And we had talks, but never really knew exactly where he was and that. So I wanted to rush up there to kind of give him, just give the gospel to him, you know, and bring him Jesus. By the time I got there, he slipped into a coma. And so, but I was still able to pray, you know, and talk to him, even through that, just asking the Lord that his ears would be opened up, you know. And so, but a wave of emotions of guilt, sadness, all those things. When I get there, my dad was in ICU, and I don't like hospitals. I don't know many people that do, but I definitely do not. And so he was in ICU, and his room was at the end of the hallway. So each day I went there, I started at the beginning here, just walk down room by room, and, oh man, I hope I don't lose it today. anyway, this hospital was all glass windows, so it wasn't like really curtains pulled, so you see this amount of suffering going on, you see these families just completely broken, and so each day I just walk by these families, you know, and I just try to pray, you know, and at one point I saw a pastor one of the rooms just kind of just praying with this man that his day was numbered by minutes, you know, and he passed away.
And so it was really difficult for me because, boy, does that stop you right in your tracks of living life and getting distracted by the things of the world, you know, when you see just death constantly. And that was my days up in Wyoming, was just surrounded by people fighting and struggling for life. And so part of my battle was here. This is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And Lord, I don't have the strength to give a peppy message or anything, you know, but I can give you a real message and what the Lord put on my heart going through this process. And one thing I realized, let's see, is this on here? There we go. Is that our life is a mist here on this earth. You know, it's the one thing we avoid is death in so many ways, and then when we're faced with it and we see it happen, it breaks us, it hurts us. And so in James 4:14, it says, "We are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." And it just reminded me of, we are here for a reason. We are here for a purpose. The Lord has a mission for each one of us. He's given us each gifts to carry on. I like how Charles Spurgeon said. He said, "Work on, worker. You have scarce time to finish your days. Work. Waste not a second. Throw not away these priceless hours. Speed, speed, speed." And it's so true. Sometimes I get so caught up in the mundane, you know, I forget that the Lord has a mission for me, has a purpose here for me. And if that's through work, you know, my daily job, sometimes I get up in the morning, I'm just faced with work issues, and I don't realize that during this time I can also be faced with kingdom issues, Christ's kingdom issues, and give the gospel even at work. And so coming back from Wyoming, I've been trying to allow the Lord to show me even more things in my day-to-day. You know, when you go, I don't know if has anybody ever been on a missions trip? You come back pumped. You know, you are ready to go conquer the world. And then life starts to happen, you know, especially here in the United States. And I just, my prayer every single time when I kind of hit these valleys with the Lord is, "Lord, just help me not to forget this season here." You know, and that's kind of where I'm at right now is how can I infiltrate this world even more with the love of Christ? And if that's in my day-to-day things, then Lord, help me to give 100% to the day-to-day things. You know, that's working extra hard and then also giving gospel to those around me. And because we are just here for a short period of time and then we're with the Lord for eternity. It's so exciting if you think about it. And that's kind of where my heart's been. So as I was in the hospital, you know, the doctors are coming in and they have the machines hooked up and everything. And you realize all this stuff that's been created and invented to keep life going. And so as I'm seeing all this suffering and all these ailments in the physical realm, I started thinking, what do we look like in the spiritual realm? You know, how are we looking? How are we shaping up? I was just thinking how we're encouraged to get annual checkups with the doctor, you know. And as you start getting older, that becomes more of a routine, or at least they encourage you to do. For me, I always ignore those warnings. But on the spiritual side, I do too, you know. And so, and I'm starting to get older. I'm starting to look in the mirror. I'm like, who is this guy? It's starting to happen to me. Like, I don't recognize myself as much. And my kids remind me quite frequently that, you know, your hair isn't as youthful brown anymore. And I like to think that there's still some brown in it. But the more I look, it's pretty much all gray, just different shades. And so, you know, they always poke fun at me. And I like to think of it as a wise gray, you know. But they just think, Dad, it's getting old.
What do you do with white?
But, you know, that mirror is a constant reminder that our life here is short. You know, as much as I hate looking at it, I start noticing the changes. You know, even getting up from sitting from a long period of time, my back doesn't quite want to straighten out right away. And so these are new things for me, but constant reminders that I'm on a mission. And so I was thinking, you know, an annual spiritual checkup here. You know, how are we shaping up, guys? You know, for you, for those that don't know the Lord or haven't accepted the heart, how are you shaping up? You were bought with a price, whether you like it or not. Jesus died for each one of us in this room. And so how are you shaping up? Where are you at in your life? And so I wanted to start with the heart. Has anybody ever had to do a stress test here? Can someone explain kind of what that... I haven't done one, so I know it's coming up in the future. Can someone explain what that process is?
They put, like, liquid medicine in you, and then they will have you do a treadmill, make you go on a treadmill to see what, how fast you can go before your heart starts pounding. It exhausts you. So just be prepared with on it, because I've had two of them, so it's not one.
Apparently their heart rate has to be a certain point before they can start.
Nice.
Can't wait.
I quit jogging and running.
Flat out.
Long time. But for elderly people that need a stress test, I think they give them a shot of something.
Yes.
Where those who don't opt, they make you do the treadmill.
Yeah. Okay.
So
it's what I thought it was. I read up on it, but
I thought I was just running late for work. you just
wait, Nate. You'd be in for a surprise. So I'm thinking, so the physical, we do this thing to see our vital signs, how things are functioning. So spiritually, let's hook ourselves up to the same kind of machinery. Let's do a stress test on our own hearts. And we're going to turn to Proverbs 4. Let's see here. 4:20. And I like this. It's going to pretty much read from 4:20 through all the way up to 27 here. And I think this is a good stress test for us today. It was for me as I was reading and studying. We'll start in 20. My son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart, and others I like in the other translations, guard your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. So I love in 4:23 there, it says, keep your heart, guard your heart with all vigilance. And if you translate it and broke that word down even more, it would be, above all else, do this. I think that's important when we're told to guard our heart, because from it flows the springs of life. And if someone can turn to Mark 7:20 and read that for me, I'd appreciate it. And Mark 7, chapter 7, verse 20. Yes.
And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. I'm sorry, just a second.
If you can keep going.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person.
And I was thinking, I love how the scripture doesn't leave anything out. One of those that Carrie just read, we're guilty of. I know I'm guilty of probably three of those things in my life, if not more. And so the heart is such an important thing, because out of that comes life. That flows through our whole body. And so, just like in the physical realm, the things that harden the heart, that make the heart have a hard time pumping, the cholesterol, the plaque, and all these other things, spiritually, what's coming out of us? What's that spring of life? And so with sin, it hardens your heart. We have to be so on guard with that, because then that infiltrates everything. I like in Proverbs here, when we're reading, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight.
So our heart affects our ears, it affects our sight, it affects our attitude towards everything. And, you know, you don't wake up one day with just a hard heart. Usually this comes after time and time. You look at Pharaoh, you know, how he rejected the Lord constantly. You know, his heart kept getting harder and harder. And so when we allow these things in life, one thing I realized was sin, the big sins to me are always easy to deal with. They're right there in front of you and you can go to battle with them. It's sometimes those little ones that creep in from your day-to-day things, what you're watching, what you're listening to, where your mind's going. Those things creep into the heart and they take root. And then you start realizing, man, where's my joy? Why am I so unhappy? And it's because that heart is pumping those things and it's taking it to everywhere in your body, your vital organs. And then let your eyes, in the 25:4 of Proverbs, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. And I was just thinking, you know, when our heart is sore for the Lord, that's the thing the Lord looks at. He looks at a man's heart, not the physical appearance. We can see that all throughout the Old Testament and who he chose to be a leader. You look at David, you know, the youngest out in the field, wasn't even part of the lineup when Samuel was there. And he looks at our hearts. And so to me, is how are our hearts looking today? I was convicted reading this and examining my heart. You know, there's things that always just creep in if I'm not on guard. And I've noticed there's some of those corners of my heart that need to be given to the Lord, that are not pumping the good springs of life out. They're pumping infection out to my body. And you have to guard that. Some other scriptures we can read. Someone can turn to Psalm 26:2. And then if someone can also turn to Proverbs 3:5. And then also 1 Samuel 16:7. Even if we have the microphone, Nate. Who has Psalm 26:2?
Examine me, O Lord. Hold on one second.
Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Thy loving kindness is before mine.
All right. Yes, and just examine. So that word there in Psalm is a testing. It's like refining silver and gold in the fire. So it's good. It wasn't David being prideful there. It was him, examine me, Lord. Bring out the dross in me. Show me my heart. I think we have to ask that of the Lord every once in a while. We can get really puffed up in our works. So easy to go there. You can see when I was talking about communion, you know, just religion. When you turn religion, lights get his hands into everything and make things even more confusing. You know, the Lord, what Ray was saying, there was a time where I read the Bible from cover to cover. It was the most important time of my life. I still draw from that moment in time, scriptures that come to my head. And I didn't know much about translation, so I read the King James. And most of it I didn't even understand as I read it, but as now, like, those were planted, the Lord still brings it. I still hear King James in my head just from reading that. And out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, like that's just something that I read years ago. But it was so important. And so this, when you read the Word of God is so important. And this Proverbs we're just reading, be attentive to my words. That is the antidote. That is the cure to our symptoms, to our disease, to our infection. And so we're attentive to that. We can get the healing from the Lord. We know how to ask. We know how to stay quiet. We know how to pray. So oftentimes, we try to get all of that from somebody else. You know, I could go to Darren and try to get every single answer to my problems, and he can give me his best. That's all he can give me, is just his best. The Lord will give me 100% of everything I need. It's better than best. It's, you know, it is awesome. And so that word, if we're attentive to it, then that's where that spring of life starts coming from out of our hearts, and people can start to notice that. And as we ask the Lord to just cleanse us more and more. Who had the next scripture? What was that? That was going to be Proverbs 3:5. I looked these up a while ago, so I don't remember what they are. But I know they're good.
I'll try to do that.
Okay. See, right over.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding.
Yeah, and so in order to trust the Lord with all of our hearts, we have to know how to do that. Again, that comes back to the Word, reading His Word, praying constantly. And I love how the heart is throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. I looked it up. It's just numerous amount of times. I think it was close to like 700 times in the Old Testament, like 150 times in the New Testament. But the heart is so important to what we do. Who had the next verse?
Was that the first Samuel, like 16?
We'll go with that. Yes.
First Samuel what?
I think it was like
16:7.
Yeah.
But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart."
And so that's where the Lord's looking at in each one of us. He's not looking at what we're doing, how great we think we are, how often we volunteer somewhere. He wants to know where the heart is. It is so important to know, to examine our hearts, to figure out where are we at with you, Lord, because that's exactly what He's going to look at. And that's how He's going to use us. It's from the inside out with Him. In Psalms 51:10, I'm hoping that's the one because that just came to me, where David was crying out, "Create in me a clean heart." Yes. And so that whole chapter in Psalm 51, in the beginning there, David is confessing his sin, asking the Lord to blot out. Now, this was a man after God's own heart, King David was. But as we've done studies in this church through Samuel and Kings, we realize that David also was human. And I love that in the Bible that we get to read about these great, mighty men of God that also had some failings in their life. They're not above us. They were just chosen by God, just like we are, each one of us here. But David had some failings, and so as he's repenting for the Lord, he comes to him. And in 51:10, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." And only the Lord can create that clean heartness. Only He can come in like that surgeon with the best tools to cut those pieces out of our heart that don't belong there, to cut that plaque out, to cut that cholesterol, get it out of our veins. Only the Lord can do that. But it comes with repentance, acknowledging that we have sin in our life, acknowledging that we've been in areas where the Lord doesn't want us to be in. And then we ask for that clean heart. "And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold with me a willing spirit." And that word "willing" is that we're not bound. We are free. We are running towards the Lord. He is our master. And I love that because sin, again, it's incremental. And all of a sudden you start having this weight. I always like to use Amy. You know, her testimony was, it was just these one stage after another. And all of a sudden she ends up, where did all this weight come on my shoulders of this sin? And I can never get out of it. With all her strength, she could never leave the life that she was living. It was only when she bowed down to the Lord and said, "Lord, take my life, rescue me out of this spot." And He did, you know, and she's been running after the Lord ever since that moment. But she tried many times on her own. I'm sure each one of us have tried to get out of something on our own, find ourselves right back into it or in a worse situation. But only the Lord can rescue us. Only He can renew us and give us a clean heart. Yes.
You know, as I was looking at the scripture verse you gave,
you know, when you're talking about, you know, examining our heart as the Lord looks at the inside of our heart, and then how He wants us to, you know, He wants to renew us and He wants to restore us. And just as you were talking here, the Holy Spirit was just really, punching that word out to me, willing, you know, grant me a willing spirit. And I can usually tell, you know, how you were saying, like, the big sins, you know, oh, I can stand against them, but it's those little subtle things that kind of like almost like erode our hearts, you know, that trap us and collapse us, you know.
Well, it's not like, it's like the same on the physical. It's not eating one cheeseburger
right
that's going to get you. Right. You know, it's the multiple and multiple
yes.
of
right. But I was thinking that willing spirit, like I and it just, the Lord brought it out to me, and he was like, you know, Darren, that's when you can kind of tell, at least for me personally, you know, like the things that were great for me in the Lord that I love to do, well, I don't want to do, I don't want to serve there, I don't want to do that, or I don't want, and, you know, I don't have that willing heart. Now, sometimes I'll do it anyway, you know, buck it up, buttercup, I'll serve you, Lord, I'll do it, but my heart's wrong. And God is saying to me, that's like a little, the Lord is saying, Darren, this is it. I'm showing you. You know, I want you to have a willing heart. You don't have to do this for me. You get to do this for me. And that's how we can kind of notice, at least for me, that I need to get my heart right with him to have that willing spirit.
Yeah, that's good. Amen to that. And so moving on to our test is usually the neurological exam. You know, how are reflex doing? And so, how are we doing? You know, many of us are walking around with an arrow in our head, you know, and it's that sin. And, you know, I love the doctor saying offhand, I say you're suffering from an arrow through your head, but just to play it safe, I'm ordering a bunch of tests, you know. And so, it's, we need it. We need the Lord now, especially those that haven't accepted the Lord in your heart, if you haven't acknowledged him. You need the Lord now. You know, we all have arrows in our head every once in a while, and we kind of just put it off. Well, we'll see. You know, I don't want to make any decisions just yet. No, the time is now to get that arrow out of your head. The time is now to bend your knee to the Lord and have him heal you. And again, with sin, it creeps in. This world is getting very, very difficult to live in, at least for me. You know, you have you have Netflix now. You have Hulu. You have all these things just to binge watch. And honestly, most of those things aren't honoring the Lord. I'd say about 99% of those things aren't honoring the Lord. But yet you find yourself watching these things. This is not a guilt thing, you know, but it's what are we, how are reflexes doing here? You know, are they reacting the right way when we see something? Or are we getting desensitized slowly, you know, to the things that we're watching, to the things that we're seeing by entertainment? For me, I'll be honest, I've become quite desensitized to many things. And the Lord's saying, Josh, you know, I'm hitting your knee and it's not kicking forward as much as it used to. And so it really has been a wake-up call for me on how can I guard my heart from these things as well? How can I react faster to these things of the world that keep trying to infiltrate my walk with the Lord, that keep trying to put a stumbling block in my way? And we're living in that day and age where we have our phones constantly with us. We have our TVs. We have all these things that pull us away from the Lord. And so we just have to be on guard versus that. And I'll speed it up here because I know we're running out of time. I like what C.S. Lewis said, is that we have to actively be pursuing the Lord. We're actively running towards him. It's kind of like when you go on that mission field. You're 100% giving everything you have to the Lord at that time. I've been on a few mission trips, and one time we were building this orphanage. So every block I was laying was to the Lord. Every person I was meeting was sharing the gospel with them. It was exciting. 100% of what I was doing was to the Lord. And when I come back, I start getting into that same thing where now it's, you know, 80-20. Then it gets down to that 50-50, you know, of what if I'm doing things just for Josh and I'm doing things just for the Lord. And so we have to keep watch of our mind, what we're allowing in there, of our reflexes. And C.S. Lewis said, every Christian would agree that a man's spiritual health is exactly proportional to his love for God. And so how much are we loving God right now? How much are we devoting our time to him, to cleanse us, to encourage us, to learn from him? And again, just we have to watch our mind. Now, what happens is when we allow sin to keep coming in, it's almost like a cancer when we don't deal with it, when we don't hit it head on. And so with my dad, when he went into the hospital, he had pneumonia. While he was in there, we found out that he had small cell aggressive lung cancer, and he was done. Didn't even know about it. He had work scheduled the next week to go do, but this cancer was so aggressive. He never knew it was in him, never knew what was taking place. And I think of sin as a cancer as well, you know, how the enemy just, he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And with cancer, now, This is a very generic term of what it is. I tried going on the internet, and you know, once I got above four words, I was done reading. So, but generally speaking, you know, our immune system has a hard time detecting cancer. Our T cells don't aggressively fight it. It almost masks itself because it's made up of regular cells that just keep multiplying and proliferating. Now, if you notice a lot of sin is just using what the Lord created in a bad manner. A lot of it is. You know, you look at marriage and in the relationship marriage says, well, when you do anything outside of that realm, it's sin, you know. And but the Lord created marriage is a good thing. And so with T cells not knowing how to attack those cancer cells, and it has a hard time, so that tumor just keeps growing and keeps growing. And then start sucking everything out of you, all the nutrients, all the goodness. And, you know, with my dad, I saw him, he was just skin and bone, you know. And I think of sin as the same way when we keep allowing it in and we don't battle it. It's like a cancer and it sucks everything out of us. It takes our life. The end, the wages of sin is death. And so the only thing that can supercharge those T cells in our spiritual life is the Word of God. Because we read. Just like Ray was saying, I love how you said that, Ray, that you, I can continually read the Bible. I didn't read it one time and I was done, I got it, I'm good to go. You know, it is, it's that walk in the woods. It's that compass to you. It's that bread for your body. It's the creates the cells for you to fight cancer. And so, for me, it was just another wake-up call for me is to keep reading that Word because it helps identify, it supercharges your spiritual immune system to locate that sin in your life, to keep that wellspring of the heart flowing and spreading the nutrients to your body. And so in 1 Peter 5:8, it talks about the devil prowls around like a lion. In Hebrews 4:12, it talks about the Word being sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, the Lord can use that same sword to help cut those things, surgically get in there, remove those tumors that we've allowed in our lives. And so I would encourage everybody today that when we go home, that we kind of ask the Lord, we get in our prayer mode and ask the Lord, where are we at with you, Lord God? What can we sharpen up in our lives? How can we get our spiritual man a little healthier? And I would encourage each one, just like Ray's doing, to read your Bible. That's something that I started a new job, and I've lacked in reading my Bible, and I'm suffering for it. I can feel myself suffering from not getting in that Word. And just like Ray does every morning, I encourage everyone to find a spot to get in there and to read the Word on a daily basis. That it's strength, it's vitamins, it's immune system. Oh, this one I like too. So only the Lord can transform and renew our mind. And so I love this. Well, my mind transformation experiment is a total failure. What can I do now? Well, why don't you try reading it, Master? You know, and so often we try everything but go to the source. We'll listen to every little tape, CD, radio, and those are great. Those help me on a daily basis. But it's not the source. It's not the Bible. Scripture is so important. It's used for everything in our walk with the Lord. And so I like it. You know, all this technology, doing all these things, staying busy, created this thing, and it's not working. You know, all I had to do was open it up. And I just like that. I found it comical. In Philippians 4:8 says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That's how we keep our mind sharp. That's how we keep our mind healthy. That's how we keep our reflexes doing what they're supposed to do when we come face to face with sin. Now, like 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Every day, the enemy's wanting to get us. Every day, he's trying to attack us. When we put that armor of God on, when we are constantly in the Word, we can see those arrows coming at us. We know how to battle. We know what tool to use against the enemy. And here, I like this in closing with Billy Graham. Art and education may refine the taste, but they cannot purify the heart and regenerate the individual. His, Christ's words were simple yet profound. And they shook people, provoking either happy acceptance or violent reflection. People were never the same after listening to him. The people who followed him were unique in their generation. They turned the world upside down because their hearts had been turned right side up. The world has never been the same. And I encourage each one of us, you know, as the Lord has changed us, that our hearts are turned right side up, that we leave today with wanting to turn the world upside down with the love of Christ, that we get out there. I've noticed in work the progression of not even being able to say the name of Jesus is becoming harder. And so I've been asking the Lord, which ways can you use me? Well, you know, why not work extra harder? You know, you see that little thing over there in the corner that's nobody clean. Why don't you go clean that? And so the Lord's been using my life and my work to then bring people into me and have this individual conversation with the Lord. And it's been awesome that I've been able to share the gospel. But we have to turn this world upside down. It is ready for us saints to get out there and do some battle against the gates of hell. They are there. And I just see so many people we have, younger members of the family that have been going through college, that left home, and just falling into the traps of enemy, of giving up their belief, giving up their drive and run for the Lord. And I just like this with Billy Graham, that, again, we can look at the beauty of everything. We can read many books by everybody, but only the Lord can purify our heart. And so I would just close with this today, that as we examine our hearts. I actually like doing communion today and having this message, because as we examine our hearts, asking the Lord to cleanse us, it helps us become stronger and healthy for us to go out there and do what we're supposed to do, spread the gospel, teach people about the Lord. And again, for those of you that that are here today that haven't fully given your heart to the Lord, or haven't given your heart to the Lord at all, now is the time. Our life is a vapor. It was a wake-up call for me the other week. I can see the Lord using things in my life, you know, and having me walk down that long hallway of many people on their last breath, on the machine keeping them alive, that realize that, man, our life is extremely short here on earth. And the Lord has a mission for each one of us to complete. And so I just pray that today, as we close, that you would just bend your knee to the Lord, that you would give your heart completely to Him. Believe me, it is awesome. The joy that you will receive from it doesn't make life easier. But the joy of going through the trials, the endurance that you have for life is incredible. And it's changed all of our lives here. I know personally it's changed mine when I gave my heart to the Lord. It's changed my wife. I knew her before she was a Christian, and I said, no way. And now I see the beauty of Christ in her. I said, I got to have her as my wife. I got to just let her know that I'm pretty cool, you know. And so, but the Lord transforms, He renews. And so any of you that don't know Him, I just pray that you would just give Him your heart. Give Him your life. It is worth it. And He gave His for yours. Amen. So, Lord, we come to You this morning. Lord God, I just thank You for the opportunity to share Your word. Lord, I thank You for using Your word to pierce me to the core, Lord God. I just lift up all my family over there in Wyoming that isn't completely walking with You, Lord, that this would be a turning point, a pivot in their life, Lord God, that they can turn to You, Lord, and that You would give them the love. You would fill the voids that each one of them has. Lord God, I just thank You for getting me up there to just pray with my dad, Lord, just to be there for the end, Lord God. And I just pray for each one of us here, that constant reminder that our life is just a vapor here on earth, Lord God. I pray that we would turn the world upside down, Lord, by just giving Your love, Your word, Lord God, an example in our words, Lord God, and just from our heart, Lord, that we would, our heart would be healthy as we go out there to share. Lord, people have seen enough of an unhealthy heart and Your word being abused, used, Lord God, just completely torn apart, Lord. So give us that pure, pure heart, Lord, to share You with other people. Lord, help us not to get our intellect and our thoughts in the way of Your thoughts, because they are so much higher than ours, Lord. So we give You this day, Lord. I just help that we would just renew our spirit man, Lord God, that we would give our spirit man the food that it needs, the nutrients that it needs, Lord God, and that we would just kind of take the challenge, Lord, to examine our hearts. Lord, we love You. We are so thankful for You, and just help us in our day-to-day life here, Lord. Amen. Amen.